hopes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does anybody agree with that?
Yeah.
No, do you agree with that? It's good to be among God's people, hearing good news, being among God's people. I want to ask you a question. Are you being cheated?
Yes.
Oh.
Somebody answered honestly. Are you being cheated is the question I want to ask you this morning. I also, of course, want to propose an answer to that question. You know, I don't know about you, but every now and again, I get a text message. Anybody get the funny text message?
Yeah.
You get a funny text message to your phone, and I got one recently, and it said this: "Hi, Mom."
Yeah.
I had a moment. Hi, Mom. Said, I've changed network provider. Can you please call me back on this number and top me up?
Yeah.
No, is the answer.
Yeah.
No, that's called smishing.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Smishing. Or, you know, you get an email that the wife of the minister for defense of some country somewhere has emailed you to say, I've got millions of dollars that I want to send you. Just send me your bank account details and we're all sorted. Yay! I'm rich at last. No, you're not.
No.
You're being fished. So there's smishing.
Yeah.
And then there's fishing. And then there's vishing. Do you know what vishing is? Oh, it's such a technical education this morning. Do you know what vishing is? Vishing is when your phone rings. Now, this is happening to everybody lately. Anybody I've spoken to, strange numbers are ringing them.
Yeah.
And they don't recognize the number. And at this stage, if I don't answer you and I don't have your number, don't be offended. I just think you're trying to con me.
Yeah.
So I picked one up recently and it said, hello. This is Revolut.
Yeah.
You need to call this number back because your account has been hacked.
Yeah.
No, you chancy. You're trying to hack my account, you scoundrel. You need to call us back now. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. It's a scam. You're being cheated out of your long-earned money. The last one I want to reference is catfishing. Anybody hear of catfishing?
Yes.
If you have experienced catfishing, keep your hand down. Because catfishing is where somebody adopts a false identity. It's a bit like those ones, I'm going to play it to the ladies. You know those ones, you get a Facebook request from this ripped, chiseled man called Andre.
Yeah.
I want you to know it's a 27 stone woman in Brazil trying to scam you. Nothing meant to anybody from Brazil. But you get these, and they've always got these kind of names like Andre Power wants to be your friend. No, he doesn't. And what they do is they adopt these false identities, and people have literally, and I mean literally, been cleaned out of entire life savings by falling for catfishing, vishing, smishing, skimming, all of these things. People have been conned. You know what? I think in some ways there's the chance that we can all be cheated. We can all be cheated, and I'm speaking to you now as a Christian looking at it from a biblical perspective. I think in some ways many Christians are cheated out of God's best for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're cheating out of God's best and God's plan and God's purposes and God's peace and God's prosperity. They're cheating out of their rest and their relationships. They're even cheating out of their monies and even sometimes even their marriages because they don't believe and trust the plans of God.
Yeah.
And they get cheated. But I want you to know, that God does not want you to be cheated.
Amen.
He doesn't want any of his children to be cheated of his very, very best.
Amen.
He doesn't want it. You see, if you go into a casino, I know now Tom's been in loads of casinos because he's fierce for the casinos. If you go into a casino, right, and you know, if you happen to go to Las Vegas, has anybody here been to Las Vegas? Anybody here been to Las Vegas? Okay. We'll be praying for you afterwards. We just... You know, when you go to Las Vegas, it's all bright lights and busy, and you go in the casino, it's all lights and bells and whistles and everything. You have to realize something when you go into a casino. And I know most of you do, not that you're going into casinos, don't get me wrong. But you see, the thing about it is, with a casino, it's writ large, but sometimes in our lives, it isn't writ as large. And that is this: when you go into a casino, you should remember this. The game is rigged. It's rigged against you. The game is rigged against you. I'm just saying that about a casino. If you go in there, they will always win. You know what the old saying is? When you go into a casino, the house always wins. The house always wins. Thaw is the word that they use. T-H-A-W, the house always wins. So for instance, when Tom came back from Las Vegas recently, and he had a sunbed tan, because he doesn't get normal tan, his sunbed tan, and he looked a bit broke, it's because the house always wins. He was fleeced in Las Vegas. You know what they say, whatever happens in Las Vegas? But you know the truth is, that's not true. Because what happens in Las Vegas goes with you. It goes with your mind. It goes with your soul. It goes with your heart. It goes with your body. It goes with your relationships. It goes with your finances. Nothing stays in Las Vegas. Not that I'm not literally referring to Las Vegas, but when we engage in something that we know is wrong, it goes with us. It goes with us. Only the Lord can cleanse us from that. I want to talk to you today about somebody who was a cheater. Somebody in the Bible who was a cheater. In fact, he was one of the three, what are called patriarchs in the Bible. The three patriarchs of the faith in the Bible are Abraham, his son Isaac, and his grandson Jacob. These are the three patriarchs. And what's important to remember about these guys is that they were all flawed people. They were all just humans who made lots of mistakes. If you're not a human and you haven't made mistakes today, you're in the wrong church, okay? So they were human, they were normal, and so when you look at their lives and you look at their characters at times, you kind of go, wow, they were a bit dodgy people, but the story of their lives is not a testimony to their character, but it's a story of the testimony to God's character. That's what their story is. And I want to look at the third in this line, that's Jacob this morning, because Jacob himself was a bit of a cheater. He was a cheat. He was trying to cheat his way to the top. He was trying to make it happen for himself. And the story of both Abraham and Isaac, his father and grandfather, was that when they tried to make things happen for themselves, when they tried to help God out, in actual fact, things got a lot worse. Sometimes we have to say, Lord, let your blessing come upon us. Do you know, we probably prayed it this morning. That was a great, such a simple blessing. Such a simple blessing this morning. Tom, when he opened the meeting, he walked around at the 9:30 meeting. Just everybody went and said, simply prayed, Lord, bless me today. It's okay to pray, bless me. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Will you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Will you stand up? If you want God to bless you today, will you raise a hand to heaven? Even one, two, you can go up three hands if you've got three. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me on the count of three. Lord, bless me today. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Lord, bless me today. One, two, three. Lord, bless me today. Hear our prayer, O God. Let your blessing dwell upon every life, every household, every home, every family, every relationship represented here. We pray in Jesus' name, and God's people say,
Amen.
Let your blessing descend, Lord, as we look at your word. I want you to look at this man. His name was Jacob, and he had a bit of a journey. Now you have to, I'm going to fill in some of the blanks in this guy Jacob, but just trust me on this. He is what we in Ireland would call a chancer. He was training on all the time with lots of people, and he was a cheater. He was born that way. His name even meant cheater. But anyway, moving on. What was Jacob's journey? I want to fill you in just a couple of brief episodes in his life, okay? Here's what it says. It starts off in Genesis 25. Jacob cheats his older brother out of the rights of a firstborn son. So he has an older brother, his name is Esau, and he was, as we would say in Cork, he was an animal of a man. He was a tough guy, this guy Esau. But Jacob cheats his older brother out of the rights of his firstborn son. He then tricks his own father, Jacob that is, and he steals the blessing from his older brother. In other words, he impersonates his brother. His father, Isaac, thinks it's his brother, and he blesses him, and he pours out an amazing blessing upon Jacob, thinking that it's Esau, because Esau has tricked his father. Are you with me so far? When Esau finds out about this, he was delighted. No, he wasn't. He was murderously angry, and he was going to kill Jacob. So what Jacob has to make a run for his life. If you're familiar with these, no, just bear with it. I'm trying to bring everybody onto the same page. He has to make a run for his life, and he runs to his uncle's house. He heads off, heading for his uncle's house for a place of safety in case Esau catches up with him, and he makes a run for it, and he heads for his father-in-law's house, and on the way, this happens. On the way, he stops at a place called Bethel, and there he has a dream. And at that, we pick up the promise of God and what God said to Jacob in that dream. This is what the Lord said to Jacob. I want you to open your own ears for the blessings that God spoke to Jacob. This is what he said. He said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and your father Isaac. Listen to the next line. He says, the ground you are lying on belongs to you. Not in the future, will belong to you. Now, it's coming your way. No, it belongs to you. God speaks the promise in the present tense. Yeah. That matter is already settled. Yeah. It's already settled. The land belongs to you. He goes on to say, I'm giving it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And he goes on, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you and I will protect you wherever you go. And one day, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised. Look at those blessings. Look at that voice of God to Jacob as he's on the run for his life. He's running for his life and God speaks to him. And he says, that land, see you're lying there? That land, that's actually yours. It belongs to you. And you know, no matter where you run or where you go, I'm gonna go after you and I'm gonna protect you and I'm gonna bring you back to this land. I'm gonna bring you back to the land that you're running from now. And I will not stop until I fulfill every single promise that I've made to you. I'm going to give you everything. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to bless your life. Now, if you look at Jacob's life thus far, Jacob's life so far has been punctuated by him trying to force God's blessing into his life. But Jacob's mother, a woman called Rebecca, she had received a promise from God before Jacob was even born. And the Lord spoke to her and said, you have twins inside your womb? Well, let me tell you this. The older will serve the younger one. Already God's blessing was passing from Isaac down to Jacob. He didn't need to fight and struggle for God's blessing because God's blessing was already upon him. The promise of God was already there for him. Are you with me so far? Yeah. So, this is what it says. It says, Jacob then woke from sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid. And he said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway of heaven. And I want to bring your attention just to one phrase. Surely the Lord was in this place and I wasn't even aware of it. I think that I want to speak to people this morning who might be in a difficult situation now or who are coming through a difficult situation right now. I want to speak to that situation because just a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of months ago, I was looking through photographs at home and I came across a photograph of two of my sons, my two youngest sons, Robin and Fionn. And I was looking at this photograph of them, and it's just a beautiful photograph. Now, of course, I think it's beautiful, because my son's been. It was a beautiful photograph. And they're sitting on the windowsill, and their faces are turned into the half light. So half of their faces are darkened, if you will, and half their faces are full of light because the light's outside the windowsill. And they're smiling. They were all happy and smiling, delighted to be in the photograph and this kind of stuff. And I looked at that photograph and for a minute I realized something. During that time in my kid's life, it was really tough. It was hard to be a parent to young children. We at one stage had three children under the age of five. It was really, really busy in our household. And there was no ends of noses and backsides that needed to be wiped. There was no end of nappies that needed to be changed and messes that needed to be wiped up and cleaned. Bottles that needed to be made. Clothing that needed to be changed and washed. And it just seemed never, ever ending. Never ending. And as I looked at this photograph, something struck me. We were in heaven and we never even realized it. In all the stress and the strain and the difficulty and the trouble, and don't get me wrong, it wasn't all just depressing every day. No, there was blessings, but it was tough. It's hard to be a young parent. Would any of the parents say amen?
Amen.
It's hard to be sometimes the parent of young kids. But as I looked at that photograph, I realized we were in heaven and we never even realized it.
Yeah.
Just like Jacob said, the Lord is in this place and I wasn't even aware of it. You know, even in the midst of your trial and your trouble, be tuned in because the Lord is with you, even if you're not aware of it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If you're going through a trial or a struggle right now, right at this moment, today, you're going through a hard time. I'm going to ask you, be honest, would you raise your hand wherever you are? Just raise your hand. You're going through a difficult time at the moment? Okay. I see it. That's lots of... Would you stand for a moment? Just for a stand. Because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I know the Lord knows all of your lives. He knows all of your circumstances. He knows all of your situations. He knows everything that you're going through. Every single thing about you, He knows. But I want to pray for you. When you raise your hands to heaven, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I bring my brothers and my sisters in Jesus before you. Lord, I ask you that you would reveal yourself in the midst of this trial. Would anyone say amen? Amen. Lord, I pray that you would fulfill your promises to them, Lord. I pray they won't take their eyes off you, Lord, and that they will sense your presence even in the middle of their trouble, Lord. I pray that like Jacob, they will say, the Lord was here and I never even realized it, Lord. Use these circumstances, use these situations to shape and form my brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray above all else that your presence will be evident and real and tangible to them in Jesus' mighty name. God's people say,
amen. Amen.
Take your seats, brothers and sisters. Trust the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He goes on to say, he named that place Bethel, which means the house of God. He's running for his life. God speaks to him, reminds him of all of his blessings, and in his awareness, when he wakes up, he says, I'm going to call this place Bethel, which means the house of God. And so he carries on and he gets to his uncle's house. And his uncle was a lovely gentleman. He was a really kind guy. Actually, he wasn't. He was as much a cheater as Jacob ever was. Just as much a cheater. And I have to say this, at that point when Jacob has that dream, he converts. He believes God's promises from that point on. And he becomes the spokesman for God's promises from that point on. But what happens when he gets to his uncle's house? Well, the cheater gets cheated. He himself gets there and he gets cheated. He shows up. He falls in love with a girl, and the uncle says, yeah, no problem, you can marry my daughter, no problem, we can look after you, no problem, Jacob, you're welcome in my home, you know, my family, you know, it's no problem. So he says, you want my daughter, no problem. So he says, yeah, I'm going to work for your daughter, 7 years I'll work for your daughter, and on the night of their wedding, their dad, Laban, tricks him and switches daughters. So after 7 years of blissful happiness, he ends up married to the wrong woman. Yeah. Who's celebrating an anniversary this morning? Imagine Jacob in the meeting. Me? So he goes back and says, you cheated me. And he says, we don't do it wrong like that around here, Jacob. You know what I'm saying? We don't do it like that. You got to work for the other daughter. You know what I'm saying? So he has to go to work for the other daughter. So he has to go work for the second daughter, which is his daughter, Rachel, the one he fell in love with in the first place. But even while he was being tricked, God was blessing him. Even when he was being tricked and being cheated, God was blessing him. This is what it says. Jacob soon learned that Jacob's sons were grumbling about him. This is like 14 years later. Jacob has robbed our father of everything. He has gained his wealth at our father's expense. They were saying, Jacob is cheating us. Yeah, but you cheated Jacob. Hello. Like, what a neck. Jacob, he's gained everything at our father's expense. And Jacob began to notice a change in Laban's attitude toward him. Up to now, his nice Uncle Laban cheating him and robbing him and thieving from him, and every time he turned his back, he was putting some other stunt on him. And Jacob begins to notice, but God was with him all the time. God was with him all the time. When the Lord is with you, you don't need to worry about being cheated. Can I get an amen? When God blesses you, God, no one can curse you. You cannot curse what God has blessed. You cannot curse it. It's just not possible. It's not possible in this universe to curse what God has blessed, because He owns it all. And He rules it all. So you can't, if He says it's blessed, blessed it is. But then the Lord speaks to Jacob, the cheater, and he says to him, return to the land of your father, the land of your grandfather and your relatives there, and I will be with you. So he wants to bail out from the household. I'm probably filling in too many blanks. He wants to bail out of the household, but Then his uncle hears that he wants to leave. He says, no, stay here with us a while. You know, stay here with us a while, Jacob. You know, we like you. We want to look after you. No, you don't, you lying scoundrel. He did not want to look after him. So anyway, Jacob decides, the Lord speaks to him. He's going to go back to his household. So Jacob called Rachel and Leah. Where were this? They were his wives. Out into the field where he was watching the flock. And he said to them, listen, lads, I've noticed that your father's attitude towards me has changed. But the God of my father has been with me. Open your ears. You know how hard I've worked for your father, but he's cheated me, changing my wages 10 times. But God has not allowed him to do me any harm. He hasn't allowed him to do me any harm. Because just as God had promised when he met him at Bethel, he said, I'll be with you wherever you go and I will protect you. And God was fulfilling his promise to Jacob to protect him. All he had to do was trust in God's promise. Trust in God's promise. It goes on to say this, I love this story. For he said, this is when Laban said, if Laban said, the speckled animals will be your wages, Jacob. The whole flock would produce speckled young. And when he changed his mind, he said, no, that was a mistake. All the striped animals will be yours, Jacob. Suddenly, then the whole flock produces striped young. It's like Tom was talking at the start of the meeting. It's like, oh, I was just lucky. No, it wasn't lucky. It was the blessing of God. It was the blessing of God. Because God said, no matter what happens in this guy's life, no matter what happens to Jacob, my promise is on him and my blessing will be on him. And no matter who tries to trick him, they will fail because my blessing is upon him. And I can tell you about, as Tom mentioned, about good luck and bad luck at the start of the service. Here's the truth that I know from personal experience that all this talk of luck is nonsense. Can I tell you how? You know they say that if you break a mirror, you get 7 years bad luck. Yeah? You've heard that one before?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you don't have it in your culture. We have it here. Well, I can tell you this. I once worked for a glass company. I worked there for 13 years. During that time, I intentionally and unintentionally, unfortunately, broke about 1,000 mirrors, okay?
Yeah.
So therefore, I am due 7,000 years bad luck, but I want to testify that that's not what's happened. God has blessed me in 7,000 ways.
Yeah.
I want to testify that God's blessing has rested upon my life. Don't mind your bad luck. But here's Jacob. No matter how they try to trick him, okay, you can just have the speckled sheep. And all the sheep are produced. No, not the speckled ones. The striped ones. Not that all the sheep turn out striped. There was nothing Laban could do to curse Jacob. Nothing he could do. All Jacob had to do was to believe the promises of God. And then there was no way that he would be, is that me? And there's no way then that he would be cheated out of the purposes and plans of God. Because there are enemies out there who want to cheat you. Tom referenced them a little bit earlier. I want to look at it just briefly at the New Testament. Maybe just for a second to see who are the enemies. Is this trick starting to get... We're swapping mics. We're swapping your mic. Kill that one. And we don't mean literally kill it, obviously. Just turn it off for a second. And we're 24. No, 24 is... that's better. That's good. That's just... will we power that down? Thank you for bearing with us during this technical hitch. No. So, I want to show you from the New Testament three things that are conniving against you. I call them the tricky triad. If you've been around Christian circles for any decent amount of time, you will have heard of these referred to before. The tricky triad are the world, the flesh, and the devil. You might go, oh no, here we go again. There are no other enemies other than those three enemies. There are no other enemies. If you can identify these three enemies, then you are almost bulletproof. If you can prevent these three enemies from undermining God's plans and purposes in your life, then you will be victorious. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You see, the world is the world system, the world's way, or referred to be perhaps a society. The flesh is yourself, and the third is the devil or Satan. So the society, the self, and Satan are all conniving, they're all planning to cheat you out of God's blessing. They have never done anything otherwise. Cheat you out of God's promises. That's what they're trying to do. And when the three come together, as the old line used to say, it was murder. When the three of them got together. You see, here's what happens, right? Here's what happens. The devil offers a temptation, a twisted lie. He just offers something. It appeals to your natural nature. I'm going to sort him out, I'm going to get him back. Or whatever it is that you can fill in the blank yourself. And then the world says, you do you, baby. You express yourself. You just do whatever you feel is right for you.
Yeah.
And so no, you have the world giving you the green light, the devil giving you the green light, and yourself giving you a green light, and in the process, we end up stumbling and falling short of what God's plans and purposes are for our life. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So for instance, do you know what, actually, in actual fact, in the New Testament, the Bible, Paul says, it's better off to be cheated than to cheat. Yeah. He said, you're better off being cheated. You're actually going to have more peace if you let yourself be cheated. I mean, he was talking about financially. You're better off allowing yourself to be cheated than for you to cheat. It's more important. You see, these three enemies are plotting and planning against you. The one that's inside you, your own self, the world outside there, it doesn't care about you. It doesn't care about you. The Lord cares about you.
Yeah,
your enemy, the devil, he doesn't care about you. Yeah. I like the way he does it. Like, you think about Adam and Eve for a second, right? You look at Genesis chapter 3. You think about it. Everything in the Garden of Eden is perfect. It's perfect. They can walk around all day in the complete nude and nobody says anything to them. Well, that went down like a lamb chop. Poor chop, I should say. So they're going around, they're completely naked. Adam's naked, Eve's naked. Nobody says, look at you! No. They're going around, they're perfect. The temperature is just right. The climate control in the Garden of Eden was absolutely spot on. They didn't even have a carbon footprint. And so they're going around in the garden, everything is perfect. They're well fed, they're looked after, there's work and there's leisure, there's relationship, God's blessing is all over all of it. And then the serpent shows up, the devil shows up. Genesis chapter 3, it says the serpent was more cunning than all the other animals in the garden. And he said to the woman, is it true that God said, you're not supposed to eat any of the fruit of the tree? Any of the trees, no? You know, you see that immediately there's a little twist in the command of God. You're not supposed to eat any of the trees. She said, No. Only the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said we can eat at every other tree except that tree. And the devil went, He's holding out, yeah. God isn't as good as he makes out to be. He knows that if you eat the fruit from that tree, you'll be like him. You know good and evil, and it's going to be amazing, Eve. God is not good, is the whisper of the devil from Genesis chapter 3. That God is not good. But I'm here to declare that God is good all the time. Can I get an amen? God is good all the time. And what God wants is for your best. It will bring you the most happiness, the most joy, the most peace you could ever possibly know when you go God's way. And here it is, it's being inveigled, as they say, being taken out of you, being tricked, being cheated out of you. And we also, of course, can be cheated out of it. Because I've known Christians who are cheated out of their money, out of their peace, out of their relationships. I know Christians who actually were cheated and tricked by the tricks of the enemy, the tricks of their own mind, the tricks of their own souls, the tricks of the world. I've known people who've fallen for it and taken their eyes off the promises of God. You see, God makes promises, but we have to possess those promises. Are you with me? Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? You're still in the room.
Yeah.
God makes promises, but we have to take possession of these promises. And anywhere that you see someone in the Bible, particularly, not receiving and walking into the promises of God, there's normally three reasons. They either A, can't believe God's promise. Sometimes, you know, they say, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. You know that line? It's made us all cynical. Do you know why? Because some of the promises of God, some too good to be true, but they're still true.
Amen.
They're still true. They're still true. He'll still protect you and go with you and watch over you and provide for you and heal you and care for you. Sometimes they can't believe. Other times they don't believe. They just don't believe. They can't believe that that is the voice of God. And they just say, no, I don't believe it. In our cynical age, that's probably the classic one. And of course, the last one is, they won't believe. And here's the thing. If you read Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3, 4, 5, you read the story of the Israelites as they're coming through the desert. And it says that they did not enter God's promises because they wouldn't believe God's word for their lives. They wouldn't believe that God's plans were set and that God wanted to bless them. They just wouldn't believe it. In actual fact, it's quoted several times in the scripture. And so therefore, we need to pay attention. When you see something repeated many times in the scriptures, it says, therefore, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart.
Amen.
Don't shut yourself off from the voice of God. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Because he said, like the Israelites did in the wilderness. And as a result, they never entered the promised land. They never took possession of God's promise because they hardened their hearts. They either couldn't believe, didn't believe, or wouldn't believe. Let's not be part of that community. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
To taking possession. Look up. What is it that we're taking possession of? Here's what Paul writes. He says, know that you belong to Christ. Anybody here belong to Christ?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian, you belong to Christ. That's it. You are the property of Jesus, as Bob Dylan used to sing. You're the property of Jesus.
Yeah.
So he said it kind of, he actually said it like that. You belong to Christ. And you, put your hand up again if it's you. You are the true child.
Amen.
Of Abraham.
Amen.
You're the true child. And therefore, you are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. What? Yes, you. The God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. All of God's promises to Abraham belong to you. That God would bless him, and he would protect him, and that he would make him fruitful, and that he would watch over him, and that he would provide for him, and that it would pass down through the generations. We want an intergenerational blessing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Intergenerational blessing. All of the promises that God made to Abraham belong to you, but maybe, okay, you might get a lot of land over in the Middle East, but other than that, all the other promises are there for you. And for me.
Amen.
But we must take possession of them.
Yeah.
We must act to take possession of them. They're not just going to fall into our lives automatically. If anything happens automatically, promises of God fall automatically out of our lives if we don't pursue them. If we don't take possession of them. Here's what Paul writes. He says this. He says, no matter how many promises God has made. Now, if you want to read your Bible at home and begin to pull it out, you can even do a search online how many promises are made to God, by God to people in the Bible. There's about 1,000 different promises made to people in the Bible. Read your Bible. Read God's promises. Can I get an amen? No matter how many promises he says, they are yes in Christ. What's that mean? They're yes in Christ. And so the amen through him, the amen, is spoken by us to the glory of God. Here, let me translate. If you are a Christian, you are in Christ. Yeah? Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
And all of God's promises are yes for those who are in Christ. Because they're his, they are yours. They're yours. Paul says, we are co-heirs. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ, he says. We are going to inherit all the things that God promised Abraham. You're going to inherit it. I'm going to inherit it. We're all going to inherit it. Everyone who trusts in Jesus is going to inherit those promises. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so it says, and so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God.
Amen.
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 It's good news today in church. They fell up on the stage, was all shouting and everything, but it was lovely. Will you do me one favour, will you stand?
Yeah.
Just stand, wherever you are, just stand for a second. I get to sit down again in a second, but just stand up, just stand up. I saw you do this at weddings sometimes, and I say to people, listen, I want you to contribute one small word to today's ceremony. And that is a small ancient Hebrew word which simply means, we agree, or so be it. That's what it means, is the word. Amen.
Amen.
That's what that word is. So when I read to you, no matter how many promises, God has made. They are yes in Christ. I'm going to ask you, would anyone say amen?
Amen.
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 You ready for that?
Yeah.
So, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
That's brilliant. You can sit back down again. As if we didn't do it good enough, we were going to do it again. We were going to do it again after that. We had that. No matter how many promises, because they're His, they're ours.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, can you see your inheritance? Mm. Can you see all that God has done? That we, vagabonds and wasters that we were, He called us, and let's see what He actually says. He says, "No, God makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. We don't do it. It's not down to us. It's not our might. It's the old saying, the old evangelical saying was this: it doesn't matter how strong your hold on God is, it's how strong God's hold on you is." Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us. He put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. He did it all. He anointed us. Hallelujah. He set a seal of ownership on us. You're the property in Jesus. And He put His Spirit into our hearts. If God's Spirit is in you, that's the deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. It's good news. And even if you're in the middle of the valley today, and you're in the middle of a struggle today, or maybe you're even being cheated today by some business contract, or somebody's cheating you out of something, don't worry about it. If you have the Spirit in your heart, it is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. God is going to bless your life if you trust in Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, when you look at the Bible, when you look at the New Testament and you listen to all that the apostles are writing, when you listen to all that Jesus says about those who trust in their Heavenly Father, when you read about all of those who are trusting in what Jesus has done, you realize something really, really important that you also realized when you went into the casino in Las Vegas, and it's this: that the game is rigged, only this time it's rigged in your favor. It's rigged in your favor. It is in favor of you that the game is rigged. And whatever trick the enemy pulls, the game is rigged in your favor. And whatever valley you go through, the game is rigged in your favor. And whatever trial you experience, and whatever trouble you might find yourself under, the game is rigged in your favor. Paul writes it, he says it in Romans. He says, "Now we know that God causes everything." How many things?
Everything.
How many things?
Everything.
"To work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them." Who love God, who do what He says, who listen to Him, who pay attention to His word, who trust in His promises, who believe in His word, who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. God causes everything to work together for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose for them. So when it comes to your life, when it comes to your life, as I said, the game is rigged, and it's rigged in your favor. And just like Jacob, as he lies there on that ground and receives all the blessings of God, and he wakes up and he says, "I never even realized God was here. Listen to all those blessings that God has given me." And he says, "From now on, I'm going to call this place Bethel, the house of God." And if you trust in God, you are also in Bethel, the house of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And if you are in God, and if you are in Christ Jesus, you are also in the house of God. And I have good news for you. The house always wins. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The house always wins. It always wins. It always wins. It always wins. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose revealed to us. Hallelujah. So maybe you have lost some years to the locust, or maybe you've been through some trial or some difficulty. I want you to know this: if you trust in God, nothing can curse you. Will you stand with me? Will you stand with me? You know the psalmist David, he wrote, we're going to sing this, actually, we'll sing the lady first before we do this prayer. Psalmist David, he wrote Psalm 23. You familiar with Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and surely, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah! 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 If you're looking to the wonderful today, remember this. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. If that's your prayer this morning, will you raise your hand wherever you are in the room? Hallelujah. I see three, just like we had in the previous service. Three people want to say, Lord, come into my life today. Hallelujah. That's destinies being changed right there. Right there. Right there. We all pray collectively as a church, and I often say it's great to pray this prayer because it reminds you of the goodness of God in your own life again, and maybe a chance for you personally to hit the reset button even if you prayed it before. You with me?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my life. I don't want to be cheated anymore. I want to walk in your blessing. In your favor. In your forgiveness. In your goodness. All the days of my life. Come into my life. Take my hand.
Take my heart.
And lead me. As long as I live. I pray this. In Jesus' name. God's people say. Let me give a round of applause to those. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be cheated out of God's inheritance either. I don't want to be cheated out of the blessing that God wants for me, and wants for my life, and wants for my family, and wants for the generations that come after my family. I don't know about you, but it's about we pray for the next generation. And we ask that God would go ahead of them, that he would pursue them, just like we sang, so that they will not be cheated out of the blessing that is in our lives. Can I get an amen? What do I know about the next generation? Trust me, as David said, once I was young, now I'm old. Time will fly. Time will fly. If there's someone maybe in your family right now, or someone in your close circle of friends who you feel is being cheated out of God's best, come, let's bring them before the Lord. Maybe it's you. You feel feel like you're being cheated out of God's best right now, let's bring ourselves before the Lord. So whether it's for you or for somebody else, will you raise your hands wherever you are? You can raise them high. Raise them high. Hallelujah. And pray, oh Lord. Let's pray simply, Lord Jesus Christ, we don't want to be cheated out of your plans and your purposes. I pray, Lord, you would help us to accept, to believe, and take possession of your promises in our lives. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Lord, we pray that the generations to come, whether we see them now or whether they are yet to come down along the line, Lord, whether it is our children or our grandchildren or our children's children or our children's children's children, we pray, Lord, that your goodness and love will follow them all the days of their lives too, Lord. Lord, we pray that in the coming week, we would know your blessing on our lives. Because your blessing makes the feast, Lord, in our lives. We pray, Lord, that when we get up and when we lie down, Lord, on our minds will be reminders of the promises of God. Lord, would you bless our households? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Would you bless our neighbors? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Will you bless our children, we pray?
Amen.
Lord, for those who right now feel like they are being cheated, we say to the enemy, hands off in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We say, get out of that situation now in Jesus' mighty name. This person is the property of Jesus. That's what we declare today, that this person is the property of Jesus. And because they are the property of Jesus, they are blessed and you cannot curse them. We declare that in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people say,
Amen.
Your goodness is running after me.